Well, this morning we're looking at the Holy Spirit. And the sermon title is, How Does the Holy Spirit Help Us See? And there's a couple of very straightforward answers. I mean, the Holy Spirit, as part of the Trinity, is part of what makes the world work and was part of the creative aspect. And so the eyeballs that we enjoy and the optic nerves and all that, in a very real sense, are traced back to the Holy Spirit and the creation that allows us to see, which for Walter is something that he's seeing better and perhaps is a little closer to front of mind, just the physical seeing. But as I don't think will surprise you too much, I'm not talking just about the physical ability to see this morning. And so when we think of the Holy Spirit and we think of being able to see, we often think of visions and that sort of thing. So not just seeing with our eyes, but seeing with that larger picture of ourselves. And frequently when we think of visions, we think of something like Paul had, as was read for us in the book of Acts. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, and it goes on. And it begins with Paul, that begins Paul's trip to Macedonia, where he accomplishes the work of God. And so we think of visions, and we think, well, I don't have those. I've occasionally asked for a show of hands that I'm talking about this whole idea of visions. How many people have had a vision as dramatic as Paul's? And I stopped doing that because I was surprised how many people had. Well, still, most of us don't. And then I find it very distracting because I start thinking, well, I wonder what they saw. What, you know, what was it that, and so I'm not going to ask that this morning. Afterwards, if you want to tell me about it or at the annual meeting, I'd be delighted to hear. But when we think of visions from the Holy Spirit, that's what we think of. We think of a dramatic call to ministry, perhaps, or a dramatic call to a lifestyle of radical dependence on God, you know, perhaps a vow of poverty or something of that nature. And so when we think of the Holy Spirit providing that kind of vision, helping us to see that, we tend to think, well, that's not for me. And the Holy Spirit hasn't done that for me, and that's the case for most of us, so I guess that's just not part of my experience. The Holy Spirit doesn't help me see, other than in that physical nature that we already talked about. And when we think of what the Holy Spirit provides, we think of what Jesus talks about as related in our gospel reading, where he says that the Holy Spirit, who will come after I leave in a new way, in a different way, because the Holy Spirit was always there. There are some people who will tell you that the Holy Spirit sort of sprang into existence at Pentecost, which is not true. The Holy Spirit was always there, but the Holy Spirit came in a new way after Jesus left and came to remind us and reveal to us Christ, to remind the original disciples of what Jesus had told them, because they're with him for 3 years. I mean, he told them lots of stuff. They needed some help, but they didn't have iPads to take notes on. They didn't even really have paper, as we understand it. So the Holy Spirit provided that, and we think, okay, that's what the Holy Spirit did for them. And then what the Holy Spirit does for us is reveals Jesus. And that is certainly true, and that's a new kind of seeing for us. And that's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit helps us see. When we look at Scripture, it's just a bunch of words on a page, frequently hard to understand, in a context that we don't get. How is it that day after day, week after week, for lifetimes, for millions and millions of people, they turn to Scripture and get what they need for that day? How is it that you and I, that all of us together, could embark on a reading program where we all read the same Scripture every day, and yet we all take different things from it, all of which are true? The Holy Spirit helps us to see what's there for us. Scripture is not magic. It's not different. It doesn't have a qualitative difference from every other piece of writing in the world, except that it's the Word of God. It's not magic, but it is something different. And the Word of God, working in conjunction with us and the Holy Spirit, will reveal things to us about ourselves and about what we need to do in a way that nothing else can. The Holy Spirit helps us see what Scripture has for us. Sometimes it's encouragement, sometimes it's challenge, sometimes it's a reminder of how much God loves us. There are all kinds of things there that we wouldn't see the same way and might not see at all if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit working with us, enlivening our inner eyes so that we can see that, and reminding us of how much Christ loves us, reminding us of what he said for us. First of all, for us as individuals, and then out to us as this believing community, into the denomination, into the larger picture of God's plan for the world. And if that's all we got, if you will, in the Holy Spirit helping us see, that would probably be enough. It's something that we all need. We require this ability to see what's more than right before us. But actually, there's more. Because what the Holy Spirit provides is vision. Not necessarily a vision like we read in Acts. For most of us, the vast majority of us, certainly not a vision like we see in Revelation. The Holy Spirit provides vision. The secular world in the last few decades has discovered what some people have described as the magic of a vision statement, of its ability to create cohesion in a group of people so they can accomplish more than they could ever accomplish separately. And when they first started making these kind of statements, I must confess, I snorted inwardly at least a little bit, because it's the Bible that said without a vision, the people perish. We need that kind of vision. If you're working with a bunch of people in a church or a business or a non-profit, whatever it is, having all of you working in the same direction is really helpful. It's almost required. If you don't have it, you just have problems. The easiest way to do that is through creating a vision statement. The thing about a vision statement is what it is it's just a human replication of what the Holy Spirit provides for us already. Because what the Holy Spirit provides for us is true vision. A vision for who we are in the sense of a cohesive way of thinking about who we are and how we fit. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit gives us that inestimable gift of knowing who we are and how we fit into the world. One of the many things that prevents us from being as successful in any sense and as effective as we want to be is our own ability to get in our own way. Now, maybe none of you struggle with this, but I know I certainly do. The number of times I've talked myself out of something that I should have done is almost depressing. And I look at it and go, well, I'm not as smart as that person, I'm not as clever as that person, I'm not as talented as that person, so maybe I shouldn't do it at all. What the Holy Spirit is telling us, right from the beginning, from the moment of our understanding of the reality of our relationship with God through Jesus, whether that begins in a dramatic older life conversion or whether it begins with our baptism before we have anything to think about, because whatever babies think about, it's not that, and we grow into it, whatever it might be, what that vision says is you matter. That vision begins with saying that if you were the only person who had ever sinned, Christ would still have come and died for you. Your place in the world is absolutely critical. Nobody else can replace it. And what you're called to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do. What could be better than that? One of the worst things that can possibly happen for someone is to think that their life is meaningless and that they have nothing to offer. The vision that we all receive isn't for us to go to Macedonia as a metaphor, although some of us are called to go to other places. The vision that we receive is not of a glorified earth that John received and related in his revelation. The vision that we've all received, though, is that who we are makes a profound difference to the world in which we live. And that every day when we get up and do those things we do, they matter. None of us have lives that are inconsequential. None of us, whether we are retired, whether we are children, whether we go to work every day, whether we work in the home, whatever it might be, all of us have lives that are of utmost importance. And we get that vision from the Holy Spirit. If we're willing to be open to it, we will be reminded of it on a regular basis. Because a vision statement in a company or a school or anything else doesn't do any good if you never look at it, if you never remind yourself of it. And one of the things that we sometimes think is that because we have moved into this relationship with God through Jesus, we don't ever have to think about it again. We shouldn't need to be reminded of this vision we have. And that's just crazy. We're human beings who are busy, who have things that distract us all the way from the beauty of spring to the aggravation of doing our taxes or whatever else it might be. We get distracted easily. We need to be reminded how important we are. We need to be reminded of the value of what we do. We need to be reminded that only we can do what only we can do. It's another one of those strange sort of circular kinds of things that really doesn't make any sense. But when you think about it, nobody can accomplish in my home, in my workplace, here, nobody can do it but me. It doesn't mean that I'm especially better than anybody, because it doesn't. What it does mean is that I have a unique responsibility to my family, my coworkers, to you, to myself, to the world, that I need to discharge. And that's a vision. It maybe doesn't fit nicely on the back of a business card like some vision statements do, but it's a vision for me that I matter. And it's a vision for you that you matter. How does the Holy Spirit help us see? The Holy Spirit helps us see every single day that what we do is important. That what we do makes a difference. Whether it looks small, whether it's something as seemingly inconsequential as smiling, as offering somebody a cup of tea. There's a place in Japan. Japan? I can't remember the exact country, somewhere around there, where a retired couple bought a house with a huge picture window that they could see on this just wonderful vista. And the house wasn't terribly expensive, and they weren't really sure why, but they thought, this is what we want. There's this gorge out in front. We have this beautiful... Well, the reason why it wasn't terribly expensive is because it was one of the most popular places to go and commit suicide. And so if you're looking out your front window, there's a good chance you'd see somebody walk to the edge of this thing and step off. And so the man of the house, being an outgoing kind of person, his wife was had some physical disabilities, made it difficult for her to get around. What he started doing was when he saw somebody there, he would walk out and say, would you like a cup of tea? So what is asking someone if they want a cup of tea? What does that matter? Well, if helping somebody not die matters, it matters quite a lot. I'm not sure what the total numbers are that he has saved, at least temporarily, perhaps till they die naturally. When I heard the story, I think it was on As It Happens or some CBC radio presentation, it was more than 500. Asking somebody if they want a cup of tea, what difference does that make? Sometimes it's life or death. And you'll never know. Sometimes smiling at that person will take what could be a horrible, terrible day that might end who knows how and remind them that human beings are pretty wonderful and might move them on to another course. And you won't know. You'll never know. Well, you may know in heaven. There's a great song called Thank You. My brother sang it at my mother's funeral, as a matter of fact, where somebody who thinks his life doesn't matter dies, goes to heaven. There's this huge line of people coming and saying thank you because you made a difference. And some of them are big and some of them are small. When I think of the people that have made a profound difference in my life, there are certainly some who have done really significant things. But the people who have made a profound difference in my life frequently don't know that they did it at all. It was a little act of kindness. It was a little 3x5 card that said, yeah, I was thinking about you today. Hope you have a good day. And it came at that perfect time. Our lives matter. And the only way we will start to think that our lives don't matter is that if we refuse to accept the vision that the Holy Spirit provides for each of us, that we refuse to see when the Holy Spirit comes to us, not in these dramatic visions of going to Macedonia, or of trees of life and rivers of like crystal, which sound extraordinary. When the Holy Spirit comes to us and says, "You matter. I want you to do this thing because nobody else can do it the way you're going to." I was at a wedding yesterday, and one of the most charming parts of it involved a 3-year-old. Do you think that they woke up that morning and said, "You know, I'm going to go and be charming"? No. They woke up and did whatever it is they did, and they carried rings down the aisle like you were supposed to. They stood around, let people take pictures, and they were at the dance, dancing with the ring, with the flower girl, and making everybody's day better. Is that hard? No. Could anybody else have done that? I don't think so. I suppose I could have danced with the flower girl. And I think people would have enjoyed it. Say, everybody thinks I'm a minister when I do weddings, or they think I'm a priest or something. They always give me titles I may or may not deserve. And I'm sure they would have found it charming. Would it have been the same? No. We are called to be ourselves the same way that 3-year-old boy was called to be himself, and to do what seems like we need to do. If we are willing to listen to the Holy Spirit, it's not that hard. The Holy Spirit very seldom asks us to save the world. The Holy Spirit hardly ever asks us to step in and complete Lyle's heart surgery or anything of that nature. What the Holy Spirit says is, "I want you to be who you are, right where you are. I want you to be your charming, delightful self, because when you are yourself, that's who you are." The vision that we have is to be who we are, created to be, occasionally take risks. Sometimes we're called to do that. Sometimes we're called to go and talk to a stranger or to someone that we don't know very well. There are things of that nature. But what the Holy Spirit helps us to see more than anything else is the value that we have just because we're us. And then help us see the vision statement, the vision that we have, the vision that we are supposed to do in the world, which is smiling at people, being pleasant to those who serve us in Tim Hortons or grocery stores. When we have that little urge to send somebody a little note, whether it's on Facebook or whether it's in the mail, to pick up the phone and just say hi. When we do those things, that's when we're living out this vision that's been given to us. I've told you often about how profoundly affecting those little tiny things that honestly mean almost nothing to us, the impact they can have on other people. The fact that you remembered somebody's birthday or their anniversary or whatever it might be, sometimes is the greatest gift you could give them. When we listen to the Holy Spirit, when we see as the Holy Spirit provides vision for us, and when we see these things that we can do and we do them, we are as every bit living in the vision the Holy Spirit has for us as Paul, responding to the vision of a man from Macedonia. Because Paul wasn't called to do something fundamentally better, bigger, or different than us. Paul was called to follow what the Holy Spirit let him see. And so are we. Amen.